WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I know usually it's Doo-Doo-Doo-Bah-Ah by Burt Keys, but wanted to start with Wildwood Honky Tonk, which is Philly Cuz, because we're going to be talking to him this hour. And one of the neatest things about living in a number of places is you're exposed to things that you otherwise would never have heard of. A case in point, Philly Cuz. It's like in the 60s, when I got to North Carolina for the first time, I discovered beach music, and I've never been the same. Well, of course, beach music has nothing to do with surf music on the West Coast, and it also, in many ways, has nothing to do with what's down the shore in South Jersey. But Philly Cuz knows all about that, and he has agreed to join us for the next hour. If you're saying, who is this? I've got a link on Raleigh.net to his Facebook group, and you can read all about it. Or just listen up and you'll hear all about it right here. All right, so let's see what we can do here. Hello, Philly Cuz. Welcome.
Hello, Raleigh. It's great to hear you again, and It's just wonderful. I posted your picture, and it was like in Philadelphia, everybody says, oh, I remember Raleigh, and tell her I said hello, especially like Caesar Berry of the Times wants me to say hello for you.
Yeah,
and first off, let me just say that when you played that music, that is even deep tracks for me.
Yeah, it's just terrific. And as I say, you know, you almost have to be a local or regional to even know about this. And it's just so neat that I thought it deserved a lot more exposure. Now, I got to say, I know about you through your CDs, the ones that I have, and listeners call, they request, such as Who Do You Love, which I agree is just like the perfect soul record. But tell me more about you. What got you into this?
Well, I come from a musical family. My mom was the piano teacher of the neighborhood, and my uncle Jimmy Saunders took Frank Sinatra's place as the lead singer in the Harry James Band. And in fact, there's only seven songs, I believe, that Frank Sinatra co-wrote or wrote, and one of them was with my uncle Jimmy Saunders. So I always have this background where I always loved the Great American Songbook of songs, and I still play them. I'll be hired sometimes to play cocktails for something like a wedding or something, and I always refer to the Great American Songbook. So always had that with me as a kid. My mom, when she was a preteen, her father owned a bakery in South Philadelphia, La Spada Bakery, and because my uncle was sort of like the Bobby Rydell of the day in South Philly, he would bring home to visit. He'd bring home Harry James. He brought a lot of people that at the time, if you're a teeny bopper, you saw these people like Johnny Desmond in my grandpa's house. It was something. So I grew up with all these stories. When I get into high school, we have a band, a high school band, and we actually, we did pretty good. We were legends in our own mind, but we did get a lot of TV, and we did a lot of rascal stuff and Hang on Sloopy kind of things. But we were on TV with Ed Hirsch at the Ocarama.
Sure.
And then we had another group. We opened for Cookie Jar on the Crumbs when I was 17. And this is at the Barn in Wildwood, New Jersey. So I start playing the clubs in Wildwood when I'm 17, and it was a very good year, 1968. Cookie Jar, I don't know if you're familiar with Cookie Jar, but
sure.
He's sort of like a fixture in the clubs and the casinos down in Las Vegas. So I heard him singing. I was with my friends because I do the San Gennaro Feast in Las Vegas, which is one of the largest outdoor feasts in the city. And I was walking, and I heard and my friend said, you know who that is? That's Cookie Jar. And I went up to him. I said, hey, I haven't seen you since 1968. We had a good old time reuniting. But we all come from – it's funny. When I'm in Las Vegas, I'm doing the same music for the crowd there. I'm doing my Wildwood Days. I'm doing All the Way to Cape May. And the people love it. There's a lot of Philly people there, but there's a lot of entertainers that come from this area here, the South Jersey, Philadelphia area. And the thing about us in Philadelphia is that, in fact, last night I was watching a show, and they were like, they did this thing where they're knocking. Oh, it was one of these old films about the 70s, and they were knocking Jersey. And from the Philadelphia perspective, we always looked at South Jersey as the Garden State, and it was always beaches. It was paradise. So my family got a house there in Wildwood. First, we lived with my Aunt Lucy. My next-door neighbor in that house on Montgomery Avenue was Bobby Rydell. So I have pictures of me playing two-hand touch in the street with Bobby. And then we moved to North Wildwood. So all my life I had this beach experience. And it's a different brand of beach. You know, I know that the Carolinas have their brand, which is actually sort of takes a lot of Philadelphia. And but we have like some mixture of the bandstand pop and the R&B, the Philly R&B. And I just built upon that.
And so, boy, did you ever develop a following from that? I'll tell you. You know, there's a lot of local and regional performers, but you have pretty much made yourself a brand.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you saying that. But I sort of like stumbled upon it because I was playing piano at one of the hotels in Avalon. And people wanted to hear, at the time, this is going back to around like the 90s, mid-90s, and at the time people wanted to hear On the Way to Cape May all the time. It was like the summer anthem of the Delaware Valley. And probably a lot of your listeners don't know it, but it's in YouTube, Philly Cuz, YouTube has it. But the point was that I said, well, let me go back and, you know, reimagine this song, because the way it was presented with Al Alberts and Cozy Morley, it was sort of like it was for the World War II generation. And then I said, let me put a Bobby Darin swing kind of arrangement to this. Anyway, then that got me into making an album. And when I made the album, I put like Down by the Ocean, and a couple doo-wop songs on there. And I started noticing, number one, they loved my rendition of On the Way to Cape May. It got the front page news story of the Sunday Philadelphia Inquirer, which was back then was a big deal because it's 2000, 2001. Yeah. People were reading newspapers every day. And it was the Sunday, and it was the front page story of my album. And we got my mom, who was the most ruthless record promoter at the time. She was about like 79, 80 years old. And she got me on all these boardwalk stores. She got me in Barnes & Noble. She got me in a lot of places. And then I realized that along with the Cape May, the doo-woppers were loving my Down by the Ocean. So when we did the second beach album, I told my friend that, you know, if he wants to write a song, write a song for like in the doo-wop vein. And he wrote a song called One Summer Night, Nicky Finelli. Mm-hmm. And that song got so big, it launched me into, it was the Cool Bobby B doo-wop convention in Las Vegas. It was around like 2004, 5, 6. It got to be such, they played it so much on Sirius XM that when we went, it was sort of like something out of that film, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Because it was my turn to sing on stage, my family was there, my wife was there, and everybody in the audience was singing along with me. And my wife turned to me, and she was like, wow, you're like this like famous unknown person.
That's a great line. I love it. I love it. So we're talking to Philly Cuz, and we are going to play some of this, of course. And it's interesting. What I want to delve into next is, you know, when you're surrounded by people who are from pop standards and big bands, a lot of those individuals are the ones who are convinced that rock and roll was going to last 10 minutes. So we'll find out what they think of doo-wop and more. Don't you never heard the song in jail? Gotta make you smile. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. I'm talking to Philly Cuz, and that is off his American Seashore Days CD, and a couple others as well. And he was just going over his background, and I have to say, when you were talking about Cookie Jar, which was Cook E. Jar, I remember this guy because he was like the sub for Sonny Charles and the Checkmates at Nero's in Las Vegas. And he was like run out of town darn near, and about 20 years later, he came back and was almost a lounge star. So not a bad background, but he was a Philly guy?
Yeah, Cookie is from South Philly, and he. So I'm 17 with our band. We just graduate high school, and they liked our group enough, and then we were booked in the barn. And those days, Skellinger Avenue, where you would have the Fifth Dimension performing there, and other well-known acts. And Cookie was he was the we were the B group. He was the A group, and he was something. He was sort of like out of the mold of Wayne Cochran or exactly. Otis Redding kind of thing. You know, when I met him, of course, he went with other things, but he always had a great voice, and he was a great entertainer, and he still is.
Yeah.
And so there's all this mingling. The Cookie Jar at the time was a big group, and so were the Soul Survivors.
Sure.
They end up living in our area. And also at the time was the Kit Kats were another big group. Mm. So I was one of the younger guys, and I would go around. I remember seeing, I tell everybody this story, we're at the Rainbow, because there's hundreds of clubs in those days. So I went at the Rainbow Club, and I see Wayne Cochran. Mm-hmm. And I realized these days, because I saw a picture recently of him, this blue-eyed soul kind of thing.
Yeah.
And his bass player was Jaco Pastorius,
uh-huh,
at a young age, and who went on to play bass for Weather Report, right, Birdland, and all that stuff. An amazing bass player, respected in jazz. And so in those days, it was so exciting to be around all these musicians. And I, you know, I like to reflect on that in a lot of my songs. I don't always write, as you could tell when you open up with Wildwood Honky Tonk. I that's why I call myself a singer-songwriter from the old school, meaning that if I want to write a kid's song for my grandkids, I could do that. You know, if I want to, I spent a lot of time lately writing Christmas albums, so I have two out there now, and they get a lot of earplay. I'm really grateful for that. But I'm working on a new beach album right now.
Oh, good.
And I have... I noticed that people really like, as you mentioned, Who Do You Love? I like to throw in some Philly R&B there. I do, on my previous album, I did The Intruders United.
Yeah.
And on this one, I have a obscure Philly doo-wop song that I want to resurrect. And I also have a wonderful rendition of a great Smokey Robinson song, I'll Try Something New.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And just dawned on me, I don't sing it like his falsetto. I sing it in my voice, but they're just great. They're like sort of like the, like I said before, the American, the classic American songbook. Well, this is sort of like a new. I want to venture into that, bring back these songs, these wonderful songs, and elevate them. So I'll be doing that, and plus I have some new songs. The title of my album is Old 17. So basically that song is about, you just take this ride down the shore from Philadelphia. It's about 90 minutes. And you basically, whoever, all the shoobies who do that, and shoobies is a code word for the visitors who go to the shore. When you do that, you sort of basically transform yourself into your youth. And you go down the shore and you see people who are 70 and they're on the boardwalk riding their bike. They would never think of riding their bike in their hometowns, wherever they are.
Yeah.
But when they're down the shore, this, like, this youthful thing happens. And I like to transmit that in my music. If I do, I hope I do it successfully.
Oh, you do. You absolutely do. So I got to ask, you said you're going to resurrect an obscure Philly doo-wop song. What is it?
Oh, man, I don't know if I want to tell.
Well, if you don't want to tell me, you don't have to tell me. Well, let me ask this: when's the CD coming out?
Well, it should be out this season, because okay. I have a lot of things. I have a lot of things already. Right. They're sort of like 90% baked. But I wrote some songs about. I got some originals there, and I have there's one. I have two of them that I am showing already, and one of them was written by Nick Finelli.
Yeah.
Who wrote My One Summer Night, and that's getting a lot of, like, it's getting a lot of reaction, good reaction, and that's called Falling in Love with You.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so there's, I think, what I did was I noticed that I used to pile on a lot of songs.
Well, here, hang on a minute. Don't go anywhere. We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. The summer kids from my LA. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is the Summer Kids from Ireland, and that is Billy Cuz. And that's heard regularly on KJAA because it's just about John's favorite song and one of mine's as well. And just one of those feel-good records from Philly Cuz. And that's probably the way I would describe so much of his stuff. If you want to join us, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And the Summer Kids is from the American Seashore Days album. It also has things like Electron Ed. That's right. Ed Perkins got a song. How about that? And more. So Philly Cuz is joining us this hour. And as I was saying earlier, I got to ask, when you were talking about your background, all these individuals who are steeped in what were pop standards and big bands, so many of those individuals, when they heard our stuff, quote unquote, doo-wop, if you will, they were aghast. So when your family heard you playing some of this stuff, how did they react to it?
You know, there's different periods of teenage rock and roll, and that goes from the bandstand days. They were appalled to hear Blue Moon done by the Marcells.
I bet.
That blew their minds. They were into, like, I don't want to hear that. That's, you know, it's such a beautiful song. And I remember that specifically. They appreciated, you know, they had mixed feelings. They appreciated, they loved the Four Seasons, you know, with the Sherry, that kind of thing. They're pretty partial to, of course, they love Bobby Darin, that kind of thing. Then we would listen to, we would go down ashore, and of course there was no air conditioning in those days, and we had the windows halfway open, and we'd be listening to, WIBG down in those days.
Sure.
And, they would go through it. They didn't like anything that was like, really like going too far. And but I remember that my mom really freaked out when our band, they used to practice over our house, and we're down in the basement, and we're playing The Sunshine of Your Love by Cream. And my mom just came downstairs, and she was just like, this is not what you're doing. Are you doing this? And I take audio engineer classes at Berkeley in Boston, and we were just talking about this in respect to this generation. So I always watch, I always got to be careful that I don't, I remember the local comedian who actually did On the Way to Cape May before me, and Hal Alberts, was Cozy Morley.
Sure.
So Cozy Morley would always go after the young kids with their crazy dances, like the twist he would talk about. Yeah. And I don't want to be that kind of guy. But when we were in the audio, we were doing a class in critical listening, and we were talking about, you know, the new music. And, you know, it just occurs to me that there's, well, a lot of the signals are direct. And also the melodies, a lot of the melodies today are more like Morse code messages rather than melody. And when I said that to my group, people just piled in on that, and they loved that. And my son, my musician son, who's about 32 years old, he loved that line too. So, I mean, there's a lot that was really great about our music. And as far as the, and we're eclectic in our family, so I'm always reverting to, I just posted on our Philly Cuz singer and songwriter on Facebook, Al Hurt album. With I Can't Get Started. Mm-hmm. And so we're reverting back to the songs that I'll post Mantovani on there sometimes.
Please,
because
don't.
It's just it's our lifetime. So my parents' music is also my music, because I grew up with that, and likewise for you too. So there's that kind of, right now at the average age group of the Philly Cuz singer and songwriter on Facebook, the average age is into all of that, you know. So I post anything that I just have the emotion for at the moment, and that could be anything from the second movement of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, or it could be some crazy doo-wop. And people like that. They like the variety. And if you think about it, when we grew up with AM radio, there was a lot of variety. And it wasn't like, well, now you're the 60s, you're the 70s, and, you know, this and that. So we're used to variety, and what I did, getting back to me being critical of anything of the young music. Today I started a new Spotify list called New Music, and I'm putting songs in there. There's a great song by Adam Levine, and I like that a lot. So I'm open to hearing these things.
Sure.
But nevertheless, I have to resort to stuff that I grew up with, and I sort of like reinvent a lot of things. I noticed that my crowd really likes the way I reimagine when I do a cover. They especially love my It's a Beautiful Morning.
Yep.
By the Rascals. I do that one. And so I'm getting a lot of that. In fact, there are certain songs. This is for me, who's like, I'm not Warner Brothers. I'm not a doctor. But I noticed that some of the songs have a life of their own. So I have an arrangement to, for instance, Angelina the Waitress at the Pizzeria. And it's got, no one ever plays the song, but it's just got a following of its own. And so it's got a lot of views for, you know, for not being in the Warner Brothers or Sony. Yeah. And so it's always, I am what I am, and I do what I do, and I love it. And I'll tell you what, I've learned that from Frank Sinatra in this regard, because when Frank Sinatra had his own album, his own record company, he would be into like, well, listen, I want to do another arrangement, more updated. I use the tracks, the arrangements, the band, but I want to do another rendition of I Got You Under My Skin. So, you know, you always could do these things when you're an independent recording artist, and that's the benefit of it. The downside is that, well, you want more people to hear your stuff. You don't have that muscle to promote your stuff.
Yeah, that's harder and harder all the way around. It's interesting you mentioned things like Sunshine of Your Love, of course, because you sort of came of age at a time when album rock hit and was anything but danceable. And so we went from the Jerry Blavitz of the world to a completely different time that sort of obscured a lot of what brought rock and roll, if you will, soul to the forefront. And so you managed to really come up during a period that wasn't particularly friendly to the good time music for which you're known.
Well, you know, exactly. And if you were playing in clubs for most of your young life, you know, your life is doing a 45 hit record, playing that for the crowd in the B bars down the shore, let's say. So you go from this dance music, as you said, and then you go into this, like, well, we're just going to listen to somebody play because we appreciate their musicianship. And then what happens is it's as if no one realized that we are a dancing, rock and roll was meant for dancing, you know, with my buddy John Madeira writing At the Hop with his buddy David White. So we come from that, and in Philly, we're dancers. Jerry Blavitt's a dancer. We go into this period of time, and then what happens is a disco comes out, and it seems like, whoa, what's this? People are dancing, yeah. And it's no, we've always been dancing. So at that time in the 70s, I'm glad you brought this up, because at that time in the 70s, I end up playing piano keyboard for the Times. And on tour, they have a comeback album with You Little Trustmaker as their big hit. We go on tour to the Carolinas, and we're in Myrtle Beach, and we introduce a song which, to this day, is probably the one or two biggest Shag, their favorite Shag song, and that's Miss Grace.
Yeah,
Are you familiar?
Number two beach record of all time. Oh, of course I'm familiar with it. Yeah, the only thing that ever displaced it was 60 Minute Man by Billy Ward and the Dominoes. But it was a solid number two for decades and decades. And it's interesting because Ms. Grace was number one in Great Britain, and pretty much So Much in Love didn't chart over there. While here, of course, So Much in Love, number one strong record. Yet Ms. Grace, you know, was like number 97 with an anchor in Billboard. But to this day, it's a killer beach record.
Well, I mentioned there's another group that it's a Shag group, Carolinas. It's the Beach Music Cafe on Facebook.
Oh, sure.
And they play my stuff. They post my stuff. And I one day I chimed in and I says, you know, I was there when the Times introduced this song to Myrtle Beach in the 70s, and they love that story. The fact that we were down there and we introduced them to Miss Grace. And the other part of this story is that across the street from where my son lives in South Philly, he lives like in the suburban section near the stadiums down there, Richie Rome lived across the street, the late Richie Rome. Yeah. And I saw him over there, great arranger, and he arranged Miss Grace. And I always loved Miss Grace, especially for the arrangement. And I studied the arrangement. And I go across the street, and I see him walking, and he's walking by himself. And I says, you know, hey, you're Richie Rome, da-da-da-da. I said, do you know that your song that you arranged, Miss Grace, is like a really big hit in the Carolinas? He had no idea.
Right. No, that's the thing. I remember so well being in New Orleans, and I ran into Willie T at the Gateway Inn. And I said, you know, I said, hey, Willie, I'll see you next month in Myrtle Beach. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And turn out there was a Willie T impersonator. He'd never heard of beach music. He didn't know a thing about it. But there was someone else being booked. And it wasn't unusual. There are many people. I spoke to the guy from The Mob, James Holvey, who had a big beach hit, who he said it wasn't until an author called him a couple of years ago that he even heard of beach music. So yeah, I'm not surprised at all. But I was surprised, actually, that Ms. Grace was so big in Philly, because Harvey Holiday used to play the hell out of it. And that, you know, I knew it as a beach record. And I, hey, it's big here, too.
Yeah, it's not big at all. I mean, I posted on Philly Cuz Singer and Songwriter, and people said, wow, there's the times I never heard this one. Oh. And the thing that I just realized recently is that the song was written by John Hall of Orleans.
Right, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, he wrote Still the One. And so I passed that information on. But it's a good song, and I love the arrangement. And it was I reunited with the times at the Cool Bobby B doo-wop convention. I believe it was in 2006, we all got together, and they were billed, and I was billed with them. So in those days, it was really good to be on stage with these acts. You know, they were like way before me when I was singing their songs on the corner of South Philly. And so it was really great to see them. I really appreciate the history of all this music, too.
Oh, you betcha. We're talking to Philly Cuz, and you can join us if you like, 888-876-5593. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Wow, takes me right back when that came out, mid-70s. Huge, huge record, and John and Joanna Hall did write that, absolutely. And it was on RCA, and as far as I was concerned, that was just the perfect beach record. Had the perfect beach beat. You could shag to it, well, those who knew how to shag, easily. Everything about it was right. And we're talking with Philly Cuz, who was playing piano for the Times at that time, along with so many other things. And I gotta ask, when Billy Jackson produced it and things like that, did anybody realize that that was a shag beat?
To be honest, we didn't really. I wasn't even in tune to the genre, and I think at the time that it was evolving, and of course we're thinking Trustmaker is what everyone is looking for, yeah. And anyway, it is it's a great role model for that kind of that shagging, and but they're diverse too. They have some things that'll surprise you in terms of what their mix is. I tune into especially like a beach music cafe, and my buddy Rick Troll, he posts my stuff, mm-hmm. and I you know, like, for instance, they love Cowboys the Girls by the Intruders.
Of course.
That's another one.
Of course.
Yeah, they love that one.
Yeah, and, Willie C. from Beach Music Cafe, he did a lot of...
Willie C., yeah,
yeah,
sure.
He did a lot of CDs for his friends. Some of them I still have that were just terrific records, and you're right, occasionally there'd be something on there that you wouldn't expect. But one of the things about Miss Grace, as you know, shagging, which, of course, in Great Britain, that's a euphemism for making love, so you can imagine what some of those discussions are when we're talking about dancing, but... I remember a guy walked into John Swain's record room in, I guess it was in Greensboro at the time. In any event, he saw the album Shagger's Delight, and I thought the guy's eyes were going to fall out of his. He says, what? And I said, yeah, shagging, it's big here. He said, well, it's big in Great Britain, too. You know. But in any event, what was perfect about that record, as I say, the beat for it was good, and shag competitions, I mean, there were people who made a living at this. You can win big money. It's like a sport. And it was just the perfect record to shag to. So I think that that might have had something to do with it. But here I am hogging you, and I've got 3 minutes left. So, of course, now I've got calls. Isn't that always the way? So let's see if we can get through a few of them here as we talk to Daddy O'Dan on WGN. So, Daddy O'Dan, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you. Philly Cuz.
Yeah.
I was back in the Philly area the summer of 62, January of 64. And spent half of my life down on the Jersey Shore when the weather was pretty good, so I know all the places you're talking about. What are the albums that you have out, CDs, and how do I get them?
Great question.
Well, I appreciate that. That's really... Thanks for chiming in. You can buy my stuff at Amazon, iTunes. I have... what I did was, Raleigh's been mentioning American Seashore Days. What I did was I extricated some of those tracks and put them on my more recent albums. I have On the Way to Cape May Again. That's the title of the album. And I have my favorite doo-wop. And each of those albums have about maybe, each has about 15 selections. Some of them were made for the album and some were extricated. And when Thanksgiving comes along, I have two. I'll tell you what, I'm getting a whole lot of earplay with my Christmas albums. So you'll find that all on iTunes or Amazon. And if you have Spotify, all my singles are on there. Plus, they're on YouTube, too. So, but if you wanted a CD, actual physical CD, and I just hope we get back into that where people are actually... I think people are missing holding a product in their hand.
Yeah,
you go to iTunes or Amazon.
All right. Daddy O'Dan, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. All right. So I got to, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I got 2 minutes, so I'm trying to make my, actually now I've got 1 minute. We didn't even get to talk about the Pirates of Doo-Wop Lagoon. Yes, the Jersey Devil Tale. So is that still available?
That one is, it's not out there in the market. I could get it. It's actually, you might be able to find it on Amazon.
Okay.
But I'm refurbishing that all for an podcast rather.
Okay.
So yeah.
Good.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, it's been a very quick hour, and apologies to Bill and everybody else hanging on. But I've got a link at Raleigh.net to your Facebook group, and hopefully everybody will join. And thank you for taking an hour out to talk to me.
Really appreciate this, Raleigh. Philadelphia misses you.
Yeah.
Try to do a simulcast or something over here because you have a lot of fans.
Well, I appreciate that. And on Raleigh.net, the interview will stay there, so anybody who missed it can pick it up. It'll be there in perpetuity. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So Philly Cuz and a Philadelphia original, and I just love it when I hear his stuff. And I'm always tickled when you guys request it as well, which you do.